just round the corner from Glasgow Cross, there is a street called Steel Street. And in that street, years ago, there was a very large building. It was twice at least the size of this building. It would hold 1,000 people, no trouble at all. And it was called the Tent Hall. It was called the Tent Hall because its origin was a tent. It was a marquee that was erected in that part of Glasgow to serve poorer people and people who were homeless and people who were addicted to alcohol. And on a Sunday, they served breakfast, and then they had a large meeting in their tent. And then they developed from that tent, and they opened a large building called the Tent Hall. And in that tent hall, Sunday by Sunday, and Saturday night after Saturday, people queued to get in. And then there was an overflow next door in the hall, and they queued to hear great preachers like John Moore and Stanley Collins. And I used to join that queue. In fact, I took Mrs. Simpson there on a Saturday night, so nobody can accuse me of not knowing how to give a girl a good time. So this place would be packed on a Saturday night. And just like this church here, it had no pulpit. It had a podium at the front, but along the back, instead of stained glass window, right along the back was a great banner. And that great banner had these words on it. The words were, "Sith, we would see Jesus." Now these words came from that reading that Andy read to us this morning. Because that was the question that these Greek people asked of Andrew. They came to Andrew, one of Jesus' disciples, and they said to him, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Now these Greeks, of course, came from the east, just like the wise men. Remember the Greeks came from the west, sorry. Remember the wise men, they came from the east. Well, at the end of the gospel, here we have Greeks, and they are coming from the west. And they come to Andrew, and the reason they come to Andrew, because Andrew was himself a Greek speaker, and he came from a little place called Bethsaida, where there were many Greek people. So no doubt they spoke in their own language. And they said to Andrew, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Now notice what they said. They didn't say, "Tell us about Jesus." They didn't say, "Explain Jesus to us." They didn't say, "We want to understand Jesus." They didn't say, "We want evidence of Jesus and who he is and what he did. We want proof." They said, "We want to see him." The reason that the Tent Hall had these words right along the back was this. When you come to church, you do not come here just to hear stories about Jesus. You don't come here to receive more proof or more evidence about Jesus. We come here together to meet with him. And if you don't see him, when you come here to church on a Sunday morning, if you don't encounter him, if you don't know that he's present among us, then you've missed something. That was the whole point of the banner across the back of the tent hall. And it's the reason we're here. We're not here to see the choir. They're all very nice looking and sound as good as they look. But we're not here to see the choir. You're not here to see the minister in his fine robes. You're not here to see Alec at the organ. You're not here to see your pals. You're not here to see this lovely building. We're here to encounter Jesus. And the test of whether we have worshipped here on a Sunday morning is not how good the minister was or how good the choir was or how fine it was to meet your friends or how clean the church was or how good the sound equipment was. The test of our worship is, when we go from here, do we feel that somehow or other we have encountered Jesus, that he's spoken to us, that we've been in his presence, that we've heard him speak? There was a man in my congregation called Rob Watson, and we had a pulpit in Gifford Sounds, and he called it the flight deck. And he used to say to me, "What do you keep up on that flight deck?" Well, I can tell you what we kept up on that flight deck. In that flight deck, there was a note of the Lord's Prayer, because sometimes ministers forget the words of the Lord's Prayer. So just to safeguard against that, we had a Lord's Prayer. And then we also had a benediction, because sometimes when you come to the benediction, you kind of lose it a bit, and you don't get the words that you had. It was a safeguard, you see. But I'll tell you what we should have had in there, what I found in other pulpits, which is a little plaque that says, "Sir, we would see Jesus." So it doesn't matter how clever the sermon is, or how entertaining it is, or how informative it is, or how educational it is. If you don't see Jesus in this, and I don't mean by seeing him literally, because even that was no good. Sometimes you think it would have been great to live in Jesus' day, because then we could have seen him. Let me tell you, it didn't make a lot of difference to people who did see him. They still didn't know who he was. That's why Jesus said at a place called Caesarea once, he said to his closest friends, he said, "Who are people saying that I am? When they look at me, who do they see?" That's what he was saying. Because lots of folk looked at him and they didn't see who he was. They didn't see that he was the Son. His closest friends didn't see who he was. Though they saw him with the earthly eyes, they didn't see him with those inner eyes of faith that knows that when you are with him, you are in the presence of God himself. Philip wants the same Philip. The same Philip to whom the disciples came. I should have said that it was to Philip he came, and then it was Andrew who took him to Jesus. Andrew was always taking people to Jesus. It was Andrew who took the boy with the loaves and the fishes to Jesus. It was Andrew who took his brother Peter to Jesus. So the Greeks came to Philip, and then Philip took them to Andrew, and then Andrew took them to Jesus. And the whole point was they wanted to meet this Jesus and to know him as a person for themselves. It wasn't just to see him, because even people who saw him in the flesh didn't really encounter him. They didn't really engage with him because they didn't really know who he was. And Jesus said to Philip, the same Philip, on one occasion, he said, "Philip, have you been all this time with me and you still don't know who I am?" Philip had seen him, and yet he had not seen him. And the Greeks didn't want just to see Jesus. Lots of folks saw him, but they didn't really know him. It was the knowing of him that really mattered. And it was the same after Easter. Mary saw him in the garden, and she didn't know him. She didn't know it was Jesus. The men on the road to Emmaus saw him on the road to Emmaus, and they didn't know who they were talking to. They saw him, but they didn't see him. There are other ways of seeing. Thomas saw him that night in the upper room, and he still didn't know he needed to touch him. We were on holiday once in France, and we passed a toy shop. And the man in the toy shop was obviously explaining to somebody in French how this toy worked. And suddenly we hear this, "Oh, I see." And among all the French speakers, we knew there was a Glasgow buddy in there. "Oh, I see." You see, you can look at something and not see it. And these Greeks didn't want just to see Jesus. They wanted to know him. My father had a great expression. He didn't go to church. I was forever arguing with him about the faith and trying to persuade him. And his stock reply was, "I can't see it." I can't see it. These Greeks wanted to see it, not just with their eyes. They wanted to encounter Jesus and to meet him and to know him as a person. When you look across the years that you've lived, some of us here have lived a lot longer than others. If you look across the years that you have lived and ask yourself, what has mattered most? Ask yourself, across the years that you've lived, what has mattered most? Well, I'm sure you'll agree, it's not been the places that you've visited, exciting though they were. And it's not been the certificates that you got, though they made you proud. And it wasn't what you learned at school or in college, though important that was. It wasn't any of these things. When you look across the years of your life, what has mattered more than anything else is the people you have known. That's what's mattered. The folk you have known. The people. And it's no different with our faith. Because you see, what matters in our faith is not our understanding of theology, it's not our doctrine, it's not our church, it's not our music, it's not our minister, it's not even our Bible. What matters is the person of Jesus Christ. To have known him, to know him, is the heart and foundation and soul of our faith. And that is why we pray today for Rowan Elizabeth, that she will grow to know him. Not to know about him, but to know him. Not to see him in the flesh, but to see him with that kind of seeing that says, "Oh, I see." To know him as her friend and Saviour, the person of Christ. That's the test of it all. At New College, where I studied for the ministry, every single lecture began with what? With prayer. Every single, whether in New Testament or Old Testament or theology or practical theology or ethics, every single lecture began with prayer. Why? To acknowledge that what we were about to share and learn, we were sharing and learning in the presence of Christ himself. To know him is the heart and substance and foundation of our faith. Sir, we would see Jesus. Amen, and thanks be to God for his word. We worship God now with our offering.